All right, ladies and gentlemen, I just realized right at the end of my Bloodlines Health show that I forgot to talk about parasites. But David James covered for me by speaking about the Jews. Interestingly, last feast, I think it was actually last Passover, we had can't beat a bit of wishbone ash. That's right, Davy of Old England. We had spaghetti squash instead of processed GMO noodles. And that's a really nice alternative, spaghetti squash instead of noodles. Again, even though it is a carbohydrate, it's an unprocessed carbohydrate, which makes it a lot healthier. And I don't want to go into diet and health again in this show. I actually want to talk about the Jews and their parasitism. We need to have a regular series on health. Hopefully we'll do that during the weekdays or at some point during the week, or one of our regular announcers who is an expert in health, and I'm no expert, but I've just dealt with my own health problems by self-medicating and using food as medicine, and that's what we advise everybody to do. So please go to the main website, and you can look at the two articles I put up, two posts, the cholesterol hoax and the epidemic of diabetes, and also Yahweh's Pharmacy, which shows how Yahweh has designed fruits and vegetables to appear just like the organs that they heal, that they nutrify. Very good stuff. So, but today on Voice of Christian Israel, David Martins said he cannot make it today. He's on the road. So he will ultimately take over the Voice of Christian Israel. I'm hoping he can do that, but he needs to familiarize himself with all of the, the tasks required, the different programs that you have to master in order to broadcast using the Eurofolk radio system. And so, Since we do not have advertising, we have to operate on a very low budget. Even though we operate on a very low budget, the sound quality from the programs we use, including Skype and Broadcast Yourself, BUTT, these provide very high quality transmission, broadcasting. And in many cases, our transmissions are of higher sound quality than the most expensive radio and television. So I thank Paul English for putting all of this together, enabling us to broadcast at a very low cost. But in any case, folks, we need your contributions. David James and all the individuals here broadcasting on Eurofolk Radio, they all have their personal websites, including Pastor Steve. And so if you go there, you can donate directly to our presenters. And you can also go, and since our PayPal connection has been taken down by the Jew banksters at PayPal, you can still visit our sister site, www.anglo-saxonisrael.com, and contribute there until we get some sort of system operating here at Eurofolk Radio. I'm still pursuing a potential lawsuit against PayPal, but that's going to take time. And, it's a bureaucratic mess to file a lawsuit. And, they have high-priced lawyers. In fact, the lawyer I talked to here in Chicago, she said she actually knew the lawyer firm that PayPal uses here in Chicago. So I guess this has happened before. So in any case, today's show is going to be about the Jew parasite, although it's going to be from the perspective of he calls himself a Gentile. He's not Christian identity. He's a white national. And the article is entitled "The War That Dare Not Speak Its Name." and subtitled The Jewish War Against Gentiles, obviously The Jewish War Against the Aryan Race, by John Birdman Bryant. Torah and Talmud, the most sacred scriptures in Judaism, which are notable for their chauvinism and their many expressions of extreme hatred for Gentiles. Of course, the Israelites were Gentiles. They were a nation. And there were many nations because there were many tribes, and there are many nations descended from the Israelites. And obviously, John Birdman Bryant doesn't know the difference between a Jew and a Gentile, doesn't know the difference between a Jew and an Israelite. But nevertheless, the fact is, he's absolutely correct when he says there is a Jewish war, race war, against the white race, and it's fully functioning today, as those of us in the movement absolutely know. So he goes on to say this: the last half century has been witness to one of the most deadly wars in history, a war for the soul of Western civilization. It is deadly not because it is a shooting war, although he doesn't give a date as to when this was published, but it is fast becoming a shooting war, as the biggest mass genocide yet on American soil, if we are to believe the totals, in Las Vegas is evidence of. And he says, it isn't, at least not yet, but rather because it is a war whose purpose is the destruction of Western culture and the genocide of the white race. So there are other people out there, besides those of us in identity, who understand that the Jews intend to exterminate us. And this is really evident to us in Christian Identity, and we're trying to awaken people, and thanks to David James for his show previous talking about this as well. It is a war ostensibly being waged by the various racial, ethnic, and sexual minorities on the planet. What sexual minorities? Women are half the people. In fact, women are more than half of the people. But of course, he means the sexual deviants, such as feminists, homosexuals, transgenders, etc., which are overrunning national boundaries and cultural institutions and are outbreeding and downbreeding the white genome. But while these groups may supply the frontline troops, the war is being directed and fueled by a single political minority, namely the supporters of political liberalism, and more specifically by the ethnic group, which itself almost is entirely liberal, funds and has significant control over this political minority, to wit, the Jews. This must be qualified, however, by saying that it is not the body of the Jewish people who are waging this war. Most Jews, indeed, are probably not aware of it. Actually, I would disagree with this statement. Most Jews absolutely know that they are at war against white Christian civilization, but they have been trained very carefully not to speak out about it or brag about it, although they do this even on Facebook and in their writings. They do brag about it. But they know also that since the Jews control the press, their bragging is not going to reach so-called Gentile ears or white ears, white Christian ears. But rather the head which directs this body, namely the Jewish establishment, that is the worldwide collection of Jewish organizations, which acts in concert to promote liberal Jewish goals worldwide. And that is absolutely right on the money. And of course, here at Eurofolk Radio and all of the people involved in Identity and our scattered congregations around the world, we know exactly what he means, and we know exactly who he's talking about, with the only exception being that we know that the Jewish genome is not Israel, and it is essentially Canaanite, Kenite, Khazarian, Edomite, etc. This is where the non-identity pro-white racialists simply do not understand the scriptures and need to learn from us. That's why we're here. The unique thing about this war, what I shall call the Jewish war against the Gentiles or against the white race or against true Israel, is that it is rarely recognized. It's certainly not recognized by the Judeo-Christians. It's certainly not recognized by many white nationalists. It's certainly not recognized by liberals. And in the few cases where it is recognized, it is rarely spoken of for fear of encouraging the usual epithets, namely accusations of being racist, anti-Semite, bigot, etc., and other similar forms of condemnation normally reserved for flat earthers, conspiracy theorists, pedophiles. Oh, you wouldn't be criticizing Catholics, would you? And other outcasts. This is not really surprising, however. After all, it is the Jews' media which controls what is regarded as true or false, good or bad, hip or halt. And it is not in the Jewish interest that the war be named, much less discussed, because as long as Gentiles cannot name it, they cannot fight back. Yeah, it seems like unless we have a name for something, like a disease. In fact, people kind of dread, they have a love-hate relationship to diabetes, for example. So, I've got all these symptoms, Doc. What have I got? You've got a Jew parasite. That's what you got. Or diabetes. They don't want to hear the word. Or cancer. They don't want to hear that word. They're afraid they've got cancer. They're afraid they've got diabetes. But, you know, once you got the diagnosis and your symptoms match the diagnosis, it's good to know the name. That means you can start treating it. Same here. The Jewish genocidal race war against the white race, against true Israel. Ethnic genocide. And it's nice to have a one-word name for it. And I don't think we've come up with something yet that explains this race war, this genocide against white people that is being promoted by the Jews. Global anti-white genocide. But there is another reason the Gentiles cannot name this war, and that is because its battles are presented to us as morality plays, with white hatred, Jewish-fueled liberalism contending, not against the white race or Western civilization directly, but rather indirectly against bigotry, racism, anti-Semitism, sexism, discrimination, homophobia, xenophobia, handicapism, lookism, beautyism, uglyism, I just added those two, weightism, and other similar isms, T-I-O-Ns, and phobias, which represent one of the most amazing collections of alleged evils ever assembled, not merely because no one ever thought of opposing them until recently, but because anyone seriously thinking of championing an opposition to them before the present day would have been regarded as out of his mind. Which describes your average liberal. Lily-livered liberal. There we go. A third reason why the Jewish war against us cannot be named is because people intuitively understand that it makes an unfair generalization about Jews by seeming to hold all Jews responsible for the offenses of few. And our people hate to be called prejudiced. However, what's happening is the entire white race is being accused of being guilty of the offenses for a few, not even whites, but Jews. That's why it can't be named. It is a false flag, a false ethnicity flag that's being foisted upon us. So as I said to Sentia McRae yesterday on One-to-One, the Jews have successfully brainwashed an entire race of people to hate themselves through their constant propaganda. Never in the history of the world has an ethnic group stopped defending itself against invaders because they have been convinced that they themselves are evil or not worthy to exist. I mean, this brainwashing is unbelievable, yet it has happened. It has absolutely happened, and we are experiencing it right now, the constant barrage of Jew propaganda against white Christian civilization has borne the fruit of self-hating whites. SHW, self-hating whites. The ADL, the SWC, the AJC, and others of similar bent have created these fictitious offenses. This is an important point because so few seem to understand its full implications. To illustrate, consider the fact that Germany and Japan were our enemies in World War II. Now, this is very interesting because just yesterday I talked to a listener of my Restoration Hour show, and he pointed out the fact, the very important fact, that Germany was not alone during World War II, or even during World War I, but had Oriental allies. Hello? Yes, Germany was allied with Japan during World War II. So how can the Germans be called racists? Very good point. And the same caller told me, he's in Colorado, and he has been informing him of my shows on the Rothschilds versus Abraham Lincoln, and the Rothschilds being the true sponsors of the American Civil War. And he happened to be at a restaurant where he knew an expatriate Russian who was actually part of the security forces of Russia who had transplanted to America. And he mentioned to this guy the fact that the Tsar of Russia had sent his Atlantic fleet to New York City and the Pacific fleet to San Francisco Bay in order to support the Union. And this guy, being a member of the intelligence community, said, "What? I never heard of such a thing." Right? So, by exterminating our history and who the real enemy of the white race is, the enemy has brainwashed into considering them as our friends. So here you have a member of the Russian intelligence community not even knowing his own history. And this is how they do it. This is how they've done it to the Boer people in South Africa, erasing Boer history and substituting Afrikaner / Jewish / corporate history / Freemasonic history. But of course, they don't name the Freemasons involved, nor do they name the Jews involved in exterminating, in genociding, in ethnically cleansing the Boer people. So this is how important naming things is. If you don't have a name for it, then you don't recognize it's a disease. Jewish parasitism is what we're talking about. And it's very interesting that a lot of biological parasites attack the brain, cause confusion in the brain, just as the tares in the New Testament cause confusion, weariness, and cloudy headedness, unable to think, unable to remember. Well, that's what the Jews have done to us. By inventing all these fictitious conditions, which they have spent 2 millennia naming and accusing us of. Very, very cunning, diabolical cunning in how the Jews manipulate our people. And so what makes this point here, that the Germans were allied with the Japanese. How can the Germans be accused of racism? It's just another Jewish lie. The fact that you want to preserve your own race is not evil. The Jews are guilty of that. Everything the Jews do is for the preservation of the Jewish people, even though they are mongrels. So how can it be wrong? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. If the Jews have a right to preserve their people, don't want to call them a race because they're not, why can't the Germans preserve their people? Why can't the Japanese preserve their people? Why can't the Swedes preserve the Swedish people? No, white people are all evil. But so in one breath they say the white race must be eliminated. And in the other breath they say, well, there is no such thing as race. Right? More confusion. Of course there is such a thing as race, and the Jews don't qualify. They're a breed of vipers, as our Savior Yahshua told us very plainly. And yes, they were born of Abraham, but not of Jacob, because the Edomites descend from Esau, Jacob's brother. And Esau married into the Canaanites and Kenites, who are the children of the devil, as Yahshua very plainly said in John 8 and Matthew 23. So, very interesting point. Remember this, folks. The Nazis were allied with the Japanese. So where's the racism there? In World War II. But that once the hostilities were over, both rapidly became our allies. Of course, the Japanese under the Rothschilds and the Germans under the Rothschilds became our allies. The reason for this is not because we suddenly changed from hating Germans and Japanese to loving them, but rather that we never hated them in the first place. Yeah, certainly not the people of America. It was the Jews that hated them. Instead, what we hated, or at least attempted to destroy, was not the Germans or the Japanese as a people, but rather the organizations which determined their behavior, namely their governments. It is true, of course, that some Germans and Japanese were killed in the process of doing this, but this was only a means to an end, not an end in itself. But nevertheless, as David James has pointed out on the previous show, the business of the Jews is to create hatred between ethnic groups. They are absolute masters at this. While they themselves pretend to be egalitarians, humanitarians, liberty, equality, fraternity, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, which is just nothing but lies, folks. You have to understand the parasite. So, what should we call this? This white people's agony of self-hatred. We have to come up with a name for it. But since we understood and understand that it's being caused by the parasite, the parasitic entity that's within us, it's certainly a brain cancer that has infected every single white person on the planet, and even some of us in Christian identity have been temporarily infected with it, but managed to cure ourselves of it. And there's only one cure for this disease, folks. It is called Yahweh's truth, the Christian identity truth. The Jew cannot stand in the face of our truth, that we are Israel and they are perverted parasites of Edom and Khazaria and Cain and the Kenites and the Canaanites. We have identified the disease that is causing white self-genocide. Maybe that's the proper term, self-genocide. Induced by a parasite. In identifying the Jewish war against the Aryan race, three questions naturally arise. First, why are the Jews such enthusiastic adherents of liberalism? Second, what is the evidence demonstrating Jewish responsibility for a war against us? And third, what motives do Jews have for wishing to destroy the white race and the civilization established by that race? We will attempt in the paragraphs below to answer each of these questions in turn. Now, of course, being a mere white nationalist and not Christian identity, he's not going to give any biblical answers, but he has the intelligence of a white man, a white person, to see through the Jewish disguise to an extent. He does not perceive the full extent of Jewish parasitism and how it has affected not only the brain, but the spirit of the white race. Because the white race is naturally Christian. Christianity is the true and only religion of the white race. It doesn't work for any other race because Yahshua did not come to save any other race except his own people, the brethren, from the same womb. The literal blood descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and no other people. He says this over and over again. I come not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He did not come to save anybody else. The reasons for Jewish liberalism are at least three in number. First, Jews have been outcasts for many centuries in all parts of the world, and this has undoubtedly given Jews a sympathy with minorities. Well, this was a feigned sympathy. The Jews have no sympathy for any other people. They have no compassion for any other people except their own. This lack of compassion is ingrained into them by the rabbis, whether they have it genetically or not, whether they are a convert to Judaism or not. This is what Judaism is. This is what being a Jew is. It means having no commiseration or compassion for anything that is not Jewish. He seems to think there is, so let me continue with this sentence. And this has undoubtedly given Jews a sympathy with minorities who, simply by being minorities, have generally been underdogs. Well, Israel was an underdog. It says right there in Genesis and in Exodus, I have saved you not because you're the biggest genome on the planet, but because you are a minority, a small nation dear to me. A peculiar people, a special people, a people who would be farmers and nation builders, a nation of carpenters. Now, this doesn't describe Jews. Second, because Jews have generally experienced an outstanding level of financial success, a likely source of envy among Gentiles. Noah, the average non-Jew really doesn't know anything about Jews. They don't care, they could care less how rich Jews are. They just want to be left alone to raise their families and live their lives and run their businesses and avoid taxes, which, of course, the Jews have been promoting. The average so-called Gentile has no envy for Jews whatever. The fact is, the Jews envy us because they know we're Israel and wanted to deprive us of our inheritance, which is the kingdom, a world without Jews. And they're doing everything, the parasite is doing everything in its power to avoid this fate. That's why they have instituted this global genocide against true Israel, the white race. And of course, their being rich and being exploiters is thus a factor in causing Jews to be outcasts. Well, what did Yahweh say about Cain? A vagabond and an outcast shall you be. This financial success has led to a feeling of guilt, particularly in regards to minorities whom they champion. No, the Birdman is really wrong about this. This is feigned guilt. This is Freemasonic, Illuminati, Liberty, Equality, Fraternity. That's a ruse. I can't believe he actually takes this seriously, but he does. Particularly in regards to the minorities whom they champion. Of course, they're just using these people to get at us, to disenfranchise us of our nations, the nations we built, and the society, the civilization, and the legal system, common law, which we have built based on the Bible, to take that away from us. This is ethnic cleansing by destroying our culture. It's part of the definition of genocide in the Geneva Convention. Andy and I have done a couple of shows, many shows on this subject, that what the Jews are doing to our nations is genocide. Even if it ain't a shooting war, which is it is fast becoming a shooting war, because the Jews are responsible for importing the invaders, excuse me, in the Middle East against the European people, and of course here in America as well, sponsoring the Mestizo invasion from Mexico. the black invasion from Africa, etc., etc. We have documented the Jewish responsibility for all of this. And it is called liberalism. A third reason for Jewish liberalism, at least in the sense of explaining their support for leftist governments, is that the centralization of power, which is an intrinsic part of such governments, is a means of realizing power for Jews generally and Jewish leaders in particular. Well said. Well said. If only he understood Christian identity. I should call him up and have him on as a guest. While it could be argued that liberalism is as legitimate as any of a great many of other political positions, conservatism, monarchism, fascism, populism, technocracy, we also have theocracy, and that's what we're going to have when Yahshua returns, theocracy. The fact remains that liberalism is contrary to the most basic principle of the American Constitution, namely limited government. A principle which has been at the root of the Western democratic ideal or Republican ideal. In fact, limited government is essentially a synonym for political freedom, for virtually all the freedoms Americans supposedly enjoy under the Constitution: free speech, freedom of religion, a free market, property rights, freedom of association, equality under the law, which includes the government, the right to keep and bear arms, protection from unreasonable searches and seizures, the right to a speedy trial by a jury of one's peers, not by blacks and Asians, and so forth. These are essentially limitations on government power. But have you noticed, dear listener, that the Jews oppose all of these things? And so do their proxies, namely the blacks, the Mexicans, Asians, etc. Although the Asians have been standing by, kind of observing this strange phenomenon of self-genocide by the white race. I think they find it especially curious because many Orientals know and understand what the Jews are and have no love for Jews. In fact, Mein Kampf is a big seller in the Oriental world, even in the Arab world. Let's continue. But almost every liberal program is an attack on political freedom through an enhancement of government power. Affirmative action and welfare give the government power to suspend the free market and equality before the law by making some groups, that is, minorities and the poor, more equal than others. Hate speech laws and the ilk give the government power to attack freedom of speech. Minimum wage laws, sexual harassment laws, workplace safety regulations, and affirmative action give the government power to regulate the formerly free market. Gun control gives the government power to restrict the right to keep and bear arms. And don't you believe any lies about what happened in Las Vegas. It was a blame attack. Blame the Second Amendment. Blame the Second Amendment. Blame the Second Amendment. Even though the shooter was killing white people, country and Western fans. This shows how little knowledge the Jews actually have of our culture. To try to turn the Las Vegas attack into a racist, anti-white event. Really stupid on their part. But it's because they have so much disregard. They disdain us so greatly that they don't want to know who and what we are. There's the average Jew. The rabbis and the Oberjuden know exactly who we are. They know we're Israel. They know we're Yahweh's chosen people. That's why they're engaged in this war against us. That's why the Illuminati exists. That's why the Freemasons exist. That's why all these secret societies exist. That's why liberalism exists. That's why communism exists. It's all part of the Jewish war against the white race. And it has become a shooting war. It always has been a shooting war because the Jews staged World War I and World War II. They staged the Vietnam War. They staged Korea. They're staging all wars everywhere. Since the Napoleonic Wars, the Jews have staged every single war, made money off it, and used the money they make to drive us down, to brainwash us, to call us evil, even though they're the ones instigating all of these wars. He continues, forced busing and anti-discrimination laws give the government power to violate freedom of association. And in general, the pro-tax and spend policies of liberals give the government power to spend 40% of our incomes and in the process do virtually anything it wants, from scrutinizing our bank accounts and telling us how to use our sexual organs to prescribing what medicines we may use and what substances we can enjoy. Absolutely, it's totalitarianism. That's what liberalism is. It's totalitarian with a liberal face. Communism is Jew dictatorship. Socialism is communism by government regulation. And liberalism is communism by persuasion, by brainwashing. All three are thoroughly Jewish. And in general, the pro-tax and spend policies give the government power to spend our money, thereby making us pay for our own enslavement. But even if liberalism and its more extreme variants of communism and socialism are in fact contrary to the Western democratic ideal, the question remains as to whether Jewish support of liberalism is not simply a manifestation of Jewish idealism, which is innocent of any intent to destroy. Yeah, dream on. Do parasites? Well, parasites don't deliberately intend to destroy the host, but they can't help feeding off of it. And if they feed off the entire body and feed so, you know, like a shark fest, feeding frenzy, they risk killing the host. Then where is the parasite? Well, the parasite itself will perish because its food is derived from the living host. This is the dichotomy, the love-hate relationship that the Jews have toward the white race, because they know they can't live without us, but they hate us because they know we're Yahweh's chosen people and they're just the scum of the parasitic universe. They know who and what they are. Of all people in the world, the Jews have the least illusions because they are an aggressive, predatory people. They don't engage in circumspection. They don't analyze themselves. Does a wolf ask itself whether it is ethical to devour a sheep? The statements of the rabbis prove conclusively they consider us to be cattle, worthy of being devoured. They don't give us any credit whatsoever. And because the vast majority of our people are in fact sheep, act like sheep, who don't even recognize there's a wolf standing next to it, because they have perfected the wolf in sheep clothing tactic, and they have infected the brain of the Christian ministers, turning them into Judeo-Christians instead of being real Christians who should understand there's a wolf standing by ready to devour the sheep. They are opening the gates for the sheep to be devoured. While virtually anything is possible in this crazy world of ours, the likelihood that liberalism is merely innocent Jewish idealism seems unlikely in the extreme. Of course, they're parasites. Parasites don't have any good intentions. To begin, according to Professor Kevin MacDonald, of course, now Kevin MacDonald is the guru of the, you know, how should I put this, the secular right. Let's put it that way. White nationalists, neo-pagans, and the rest. Kevin MacDonald is their guru. According to Professor Kevin MacDonald, and I have attempted to converse with Kevin MacDonald to have a public discussion about his view of the Jews and the identity view of the Jews, but he has always refused. The same is true of David Duke. You can talk to him about other things, but talking to him about who the Jews really are, he doesn't want to discuss that subject. Which tells me they're hiding something. They don't want to know. At the very least, they don't want to know. and thus they give the Jews too much credit. In any case, Professor Kevin McDonald, Jewish intelligence, is significantly above the white about 15 IQ points, and in fact is as far above the white as the white is above the black. Thus, even granting the possibility that the Jewish hoi polloi are idealistic liberals with no intent of trashing whites or Western civilization, the fact that liberalism has been a failure in every instance where it has been tried, amen to that, from the numerous communist and socialist regimes around the world, to every particular program where it has been tried in the West, welfare, government, healthcare, social security, etc., 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 can only mean that Jewish leaders, the most intelligent men of an outstandingly intelligent race, know perfectly well the effects of liberalism and continue to promote it precisely because they approve of its effects. Why? Because they are parasites. The parasite is not going to change its behavior, especially if it's providing food. And if the host willingly provides itself as food for the parasite, self-genocide. The parasite is not going to change its methods. And until the host, that is the sheep, finally wake up and realize that they're being devoured, and that its brain has been affected to so that it does not realize, does not understand that it is being devoured and actually revels in being devoured. Self-genocide. Nothing will happen. However, there is a fly in the ointment, in the Jewish parasitic ointment, in the Jewish tactics, and that is called Christian identity. As Yahweh told us in Numbers 33:55, that the Edomites would be thorns in our sides and pricks in our eyes, we in identity are returning the favor. Thanks to the internet and thanks to our eloquence and our defense of the white race and defense of biblical intelligence, we have become a thorn in their side. And we are educating people as the true nature of the Jewish parasite. More and more people are beginning to see the Jews are behind the demolition of the Second Amendment. The Jews are behind non-white immigration. The Jews are behind the welfare state. The Jews are behind the Federal Reserve Bank. Every criminal enterprise, including the mafia, is run by Jews. Homosexuality, pedophilia. The Jews are in the forefront of all of these degenerate activities. And we in Christian identity are the ones most responsible for the awakening of the sheep. Birdman is doing a good job, but if and when he understands identity, he will do a superb job. It's the difference between being somewhat effective and totally effective. The awakening of the sheep to our sheep as the true Israel of the Bible must go on, and we will not stop here at Eurofolk Radio until we awaken every last white person on this planet. Again, this means that the Jewish leaders, the most intelligent men of an outstandingly intelligent race that is demonically intelligent, know perfectly well the effects of liberalism and continue to promote it precisely because they approve of its effects. Well said. Couldn't have said it better. And while it is true that Israel itself, the Israeli state, adheres to liberalism in the economic sphere, but not in the racial, ethnic, or sexual sphere, this is not a refutation of our position, but could be explained in various ways. For example, as a need on the part of Jewish leaders to showcase their liberalism to the nations in order to be better able to use it against them, or as an experiment in command and control of their own people in order to facilitate using it against the West, or as merely the effect of Jewish hoi polloi believing in liberalism without their leaders believing in it. Yeah, it's a game. It's a con game. The Oberjuden and the rabbis know it's a con game, but yet they have to have a bunch of true believers, both Jewish and Goy, as they use the word goy, have to believe that liberalism is a good thing. Of course, everything is blamed on white nationalism. White nationalism is the greatest evil in the world, according to the Jews and according to liberals and according to Judeo-Christians. The brain disease, the parasitic brain disease, has affected all of our institutions, even white nationalism. As I said, David Duke and Kevin MacDonald swallow the Jewish lie that they are the Israel of the Bible, and apparently so does the Birdman. How do we get through to these people? Well, if they're shills, they will refuse to listen to us. If they're sincere, they will listen to us. I will try one more time to get an audience with Kevin MacDonald to see if I can get through to him. Maybe the books he sells are aimed exclusively to white nationalists who don't want to hear about Christian identity. If that's the case, then he's going to be considered a terror. So will David Duke. So will all these phony white nationalists parading themselves out there who are really shills for the Jews, who are just as much their henchmen as any liberal or any communist. If you don't expose the parasite for what it really is, you're not going to cure the disease. Evidence for Jewish responsibility. The evidence of Jewish responsibility for the intentional destruction of Western civilization and the white race consists of two parts. One, the Jewish support of liberalism, which we have already noted is contrary to the basic principles of Western life. Yes, the Founding Fathers did not, well, they called it democracy, and they said democracy is the worst form of government. And two, the negative attitudes and motives which Jews hold toward whites and Western culture. The evidence for one is summarized in the starred paragraphs below. The evidence for two is discussed in Motives for Jewish Behavior, which follows the starred paragraphs. So with about 11 minutes left, let me go through some of these bullet points. Jews as a people are overwhelmingly liberal politically, and the goals of the major Jewish organizations worldwide reflect this liberalism and their policies and political activism. He also needs to point out that Judaism is rabidly anti-Christian. Rabidly anti-Christian. And they proclaim such. All of their attempts to unify Jews and Christians are simply more game playing, not to be taken seriously. However, because the Christian sheep do not understand the coyness and the cupidity of the Jewish people, they don't get it. The sheep can't understand the wolf. The wolf, however, spends lots of time checking out the sheep, because he has to determine when to strike. Second bullet point, virtually all of the liberal social movements have been initiated and led by Jews. Communism, civil rights, feminism, open immigration, gun control, hate crime laws, and the labor movement, of which Stalin was one. The major media, newspapers, television, and movies has an overwhelmingly liberal bias, and Jewish influence is dominant in the media. Jewish contributions and fundraising have a major impact on the political process, and with this control goes tremendous political clout, all of which is geared toward anti-white liberalism, all of it. Motives for Jewish behavior. Besides the love of all things liberal, Jews have certain motives and attitudes which make hostility to Western culture and the white race understandable, if not exactly justified. Well, they know they're liars and deceivers. Parasites know they have to imitate the host whenever possible. One, the Talmud, central book of the Jewish religion, veritably bristles with hatred for Gentiles. And while the majority of Jews are not religious, that's not true. They're following their religion. They just don't go to synagogue. There is little doubt that this hatred, nurtured by centuries of pretended persecution, and refreshed with memories of Nazism and the Holocaust, is a significant part of the Jewish psyche. Indeed. So, he knows about the Talmud. Does he understand that the Talmud and the Torah are not the same? Let's see, maybe he does. Their past persecution, feigned persecution, has given Jews not only a negative attitude toward white Gentiles, but a desire to protect themselves from further persecution. So see, he actually takes the persecution myth seriously. Major mistake. Major mistake. In conjunction with their eye for an eye and never forgive, never forget mentality, a taste for revenge. Yeah, Judaism is vengeance. They don't want to wait for Yahweh's vengeance. He says, vengeance is mine, saith Yahweh. The Jews can't wait for that. They want to exterminate us before the judgment day. And hopefully, there won't be a Yahweh or a Yahshua to judge them. But that vain hope will be revealed, exposed when that day comes. Praise Yahweh. The destruction of the white race and its culture ostensibly gives or serves both of these purposes. Yes, well, they'll be the only ones standing. It's those of us in the white race, those of us in Christian Israel, who have enough intelligence to see through Jewish deceptions, which is the one thing standing between the white race and total extermination. It's the only thing. Not even these white nationalists can prevail against Jewish power, because they control the military power of all of the white nations as we speak. And unless you have Yahweh as your armament, as Paul says, if God be with us, who can be against us? There is no chance for the white race. Final bullet point here. Jews as a people regard themselves as competing with Gentiles, at least in the sense of preferring their own people rather than Gentiles to succeed and hold power. How about Genesis 3:15, Birdman? The hatred, the enmity prophesied by Yahweh in the third book of Genesis, the third chapter of Genesis. And in the fourth chapter of Genesis says that the Jews, the descendants of Cain, will be vagabonds roaming the earth. That's just exactly what the Jews are, vagabonds roaming the earth, vagabonds and outcasts. And since whites are their major competition, what better way to foster the desired success than to literally destroy the white race and its culture? Okay, this gives us the perspective of a white nationalist, a Jew-savvy white nationalist. And I don't think a white nationalist can gain more knowledge about the Jews than the Birdman here, John Bryant, is demonstrating. Because they assume that the Jews are God's chosen people, Israel, whether that is meaningful to them or not. Because most of these critics don't take the Bible seriously anyway. They think it's a Jewish book. But since they make that false assumption, they will never go beyond this racial perspective and not understand that even Yahweh and Yahshua hated these same Jews. And that the Jews are actually fostering ignorance of the Bible to make sure that these white nationals never find their Lord and Savior, Yeshua. So, what am I saying? I'm saying, Mr. Bryant, you're just as much befuddled by the Jews as the people you're describing. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. They have still kept you away from your Lord and Savior, Yahshua Messiah. They have still kept you from understanding that you are an Israelite and that they are imposters. One more paragraph here. In view of these observations, it is hardly surprising that Jews have supported integration, intermarriage, immigration, affirmative action, blah, blah, blah. whose effect is to dilute and destroy the white genome. Amen. You've got that right. And the civilization for which it is responsible. In attempting to deal with the Jews, there are two important questions which must be dealt with. One, what if Jewish hostility to Gentiles is either genetic or so culturally ingrained that destroying Judea's, not Jews, Judea's hostile organizations and neutralizing its leaders will only succeed in bringing to the fore new organizations and new leaders with the same intentions and behaviors? Well, of course. If we were to succeed without Yahshua's help, the first thing we would do is to use an insecticide or a parasite cleaner, right? There are such drugs. There are anti-parasitic drugs that will get rid of these creatures. But unless you analyze the disease correctly and understand you've got a parasitic infection, then you will simply use the wrong drugs. You must isolate the parasite, as Hitler tried to do with the concentration camps. The only thing wrong with the concentration camps is they didn't kill any Jews. The Jews made that whole story up. And they have proceeded and still continue to be thorns in our sides and pricks in our eyes. Two, because wars require great effort and sacrifice, they generally require a great hatred of the enemy. But if we reject hatred of the Jews as unfair on the assumption that it is only some Jews who are responsible for the Jewish war against the white race, how is it possible to prosecute the war? Now, it's absolutely fascinating that the Jews use the divide and conquer tactic, creating hatred between groups every single day with their propaganda. Yet the average white liberal, average white Judeo-Christian is clueless that this is actually what they're doing. But what good would it do to create hatred against the Jews? How would we organize such a war against them? Folks, this is a spiritual problem. We must educate our white brethren to realize that the only solution is the second coming, when Yahshua comes to gather the tares and throw them into the fire. Our job as Israelites here on this planet is to keep educating our people and get them ready for this fire so that they don't get singed and burnt and barbecued. Because every Jew and every Jew sympathizer, which includes Judeo-Christians and whites who disobey Yahweh's laws, will be counted as tares. They will be gathered in the fire and burnt. That's what the Bible tells us. So I admire the Birdman for warning us about the Jew, but at the same time, I caution him to study Christian identity, to really know what the Jews are and to know who he is. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition, folks. Stay tuned for Pastor Dan. See you next time.